I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Hold up.
It's just like wrong.
Oh, fine.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18th floor of 303 East Wacker. If you get a running start, you get a running start, and you got any hops in you, you can see us. You can totally see us. We're trying to do a thing, by the way, where there's a giant television in the lobby. And, you know, the show is streamed all morning and then on CLTV at 9 o'clock, so why not have our mugs on the big screen downstairs in the lobby?
I'd have to start dressing up.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not going to dress up.
I was thinking, because I watch the monitors all the time, I know you've suggested that, people downstairs will see a lot of the top of Mary's head, because she holds her head in her hand on her desk, and people see a lot of you rubbing your face.
Face palm.
Yeah. That's what you so that
so it'd be solid then is what you're saying. It'd be great.
That'll motivate the people.
So what you're saying is it's a great idea.
Yeah.
My favorite, we were watching.
I'm not going for this.
What are you talking about?
Well, I hear there's an issue if some people wear low tops here. Like me.
Mary wears, that's why she's wearing a tight neck.
The angle that you're at, it looks down your front of your shirt. Yeah.
It's a good thing I don't have an issue.
Yesterday,
I screw up my wardrobe. I do a lot of tank tops, so that's a problem for me, too.
Yesterday, Mary was eating a banana, and so I watched her do that on the screen.
Oh, come on.
I mean, you were doing it.
These are entertaining moments.
This is the only time I can eat, so I eat my yogurt, my banana. So I got to creep in the corner now every time.
I got a text yesterday that said, watching you on the stream, can they adjust the camera? Because in the corner, it will say live.
Mm-hmm.
But the way our studio is set up, I'm in the corner, so the live graphic is over my face.
There you go. Live. Live, Justin. Live.
I'm like, that's by design. I'm live.
There's a reason we join radio. You know, we want to be in radio and not TV.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Dave, you stop it, too.
Dave's not on camera.
I'm not even doing any. I'm on TV all the time. I'm okay either way.
Mr. Bragg over here.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not. It's not.
I'm Dave. I always look good.
You got to pull that clip.
I didn't say that, Steve. You're putting words in my mouth, which is really unusual.
Yeah, Dave, I need to borrow your makeup.
I don't have it here.
No. Okay.
Steve Grzanich, how are you?
Adjusting monitors.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, well, listen.
People come in every day, and they change the stuff around. Let me get this over here.
Well, that's why every person on the air should have their own studio. Each individual should have their own studio.
Right.
We almost have enough room up here.
I have one. So if you any time, just let me know.
First, he's all on TV. Now he's got his own studio.
But the sports guys are in there, aren't they?
Yeah.
I spend a good 10 minutes every morning just going through the routine of putting the TVs back on the news stations, off the entertainment stations, and changing the...
Everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten, put it back the way you found it.
Such a tough job,
Put it back
Steve.
The way you found it.
I got to turn the channel. Every first thing I do when I get in, I got to turn the channel.
Yeah. Wow, we have problems, don't we?
Very cool charity effort after 7 o'clock that I'm involved in. I want to tell you about that. And a brand new feature on the program this morning, it's Get to Know Pete.
Yes.
Pete Zimmerman, your producer from The Download.
Yeah, we don't know Pete very well.
Right.
And I've worked with him for 3 years. I don't know him very well.
By the way, I've worked with him for
11 years.
Feel free to grill him. Feel free to come up with questions,
yeah,
Dave. Right. Feel free to come up with deeply personal questions, you know, stuff that's none of our business.
What if I don't really want to know that much about me? I mean, I like Pete. He's a good guy.
I see. You're doing a new feature. I don't really care that much about what Pete's
about. I didn't say that.
Right.
I didn't say that. But
want to know.
Personal questions, I think, you know, Justin should ask those first.
Yeah. I would think you would have asked him by now, but, you know, that's me.
We'll give it the old public radio treatment when we talk to Pete.
Pete, tell
us about your life.
You want to talk about what happened to you yesterday?
Oh, with my basement?
Yeah.
You got flooded again?
Uh-oh. No, it didn't get flooded, but we got the estimate to fix it.
Basically, it's a it's 1 year tuition.
Yeah. It was I knew it was going to be not great, but it's still when you see that number.
Was it more than you thought it was going
to
be?
No, I wanted it to be under $20,000.
And it was.
That was accomplished?
It was under 20.
19,999.
By the way, did it come with a show? Because if you're going to pay that kind of money, you would think you'd get a show.
Yeah. That's,
do you get a diploma you can frame later?
It's a good APR, right?
It should be a ceremony.
And the fixing doesn't really, it doesn't, you still have to pay someone to come and tear up the tile that's there right now to get it out of the way for the people to come fix, you know.
And so that doesn't include that? Doesn't include the ripping up of the tile?
No, it doesn't include, and then you have to re-put new tile down, so you got to pay for that. So it's an interesting. Yeah. We
It's quite a system.
I told you, I think I'm just going to fill the basement in with concrete.
I think it's a good idea. That'll throw a couple of mobsters down there first.
Yep.
Tomorrow on this show, General John Borling will be on, and he'll be live in studio, longest-serving POW during the Vietnam War. And just, you know, a real American hero who'll be in studio tomorrow.
I get to have him as a house guest tonight.
Yeah, which I think is interesting because you are in various stages of honored and panicked.
I am. And he, you know, I gave him a little notes about our house, and I did give him a warning that we keep our house very cold because that's what everybody tells us when they come over, because Pat and I like it cold. And he said that he could handle all elements. Okay. So.
Yeah, think about what he went through at
Nam.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you having it chilly in the house probably isn't going to be a problem for him. Yeah.
I just want to be prepared.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Top 6 at 6 is where we tell you stuff that is definitely in the news that make you look super smart when you get to work. Item number one, by far, is the continuing abuse of children that's going on with children being separated from their parents. The Trump policy could be changed by a phone call from the president at any moment. It has nothing to do with legislation, short of the fact that there's an attempt to blackmail the Democrats into agreeing to full funding of the border wall, something that's not even possible and is a ridiculous ask. So this goes on, and every day it goes on, more kids are damaged by it. The line of Republicans lining up to say they are against this gets longer, and this morning the Pope joins the line, endorsing the bishops who have come out against this hideous, un-American thing that is happening there.
And well, there's something Republicans can do, and that's enact a immigration policy in Congress.
That doesn't change it.
It does change it. If
now, hold on. First off, lose the attitude. It doesn't change
lose
it.
Lose the attitude.
It's too early in the morning to be shouted at.
I'm not shouting.
If anybody shouts,
I'm not shouting. Of course, I would never shout at you.
All right, so here's the story. The story is he could change this with a phone call.
It's abhorrent that the president is using this as negotiation. There's no doubt about it. That is a 100%. You're seeing more and more of the polls, everyone, even the congressmen from both sides of the aisle. But at the end of the day, the most important thing here is that Congress has punted on comprehensive immigration policy forever. And the way that the last president dealt with this is by doing an executive action about DACA, right? That was what he did. This president has chosen to do this, as I said, abhorrent policy of separating families and children. But at the end of the day, there has to be some blame laid at the feet of this Congress that continues to do nothing.
Congress is useless.
It's useless.
This Congress does nothing and continues to stand by.
So Republicans can say all day long they don't like it.
But deal with the problem. Get in there. Here's the problem. The problem is babies are being taken away from breastfeeding mothers.
It's ridiculous.
Stop that now. You want to fight over legislation? Fine. That's a parallel line. Do it over here. Next. The FBI agent who was removed in the special counsel investigation for sending anti-Trump texts was escorted from the FBI building on Friday and effectively relieved of work responsibilities. There's no official word on Peter Strzok's stance within the FBI, though he technically remains an agent at this time. Next. Ginger Evans will step down as aviation commissioner this summer. She's going to be replaced by Rahm Emanuel's procurement chief as head of the agency that oversees the massive overhaul of O'Hare International Airport. Jamie Ree takes over the aviation department head position when Evans resigns on August 1st. That job's just going to get bigger because they are redoing the terminals in a new configuration.
I read the aviation commissioner is the highest paid commissioner in the city of Chicago.
What's she make?
I think it was 300.
It's pretty good.
And then there's bonuses. It might be 200 bonuses, but it's
bonuses
it's,
based on it, what? If a flight leaves on time?
No. It's probably just based on nothing. The fact that it's just always there. I mean, it's probably based on job performance in some form, but it's the highest paid position in the city of Chicago.
I was not aware of that.
That's,
yeah, I was not aware of that. And, you know, in some ways, you could justify it.
I think it's higher than the mayor.
Next, number of Americans seeking Social Security disability benefits is dropping. The latest evidence of a stronger economy pulling people back into the job market. The drop is so significant that the agency has added 4 years to its estimate of how long the program will be financially secure, which takes it to what year? Nobody can agree on that number. So in the meantime, Social Security remains in jeopardy, though it appears to have a brighter future.
One word, lockbox.
Next. General Electric, this is an amazing story. The last original member of the Dow was dropped from the Dow after over 100 years on the big board's Big 30.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So we're talking about this morning with time.
Yeah, time shifted, right? Because the Dow has had GE prominent front and center forever. And I can't remember who they were replaced by.
A Chicago area company named Walgreens.
Oh, it was Walgreens.
Yes,
okay.
Walgreens Boots Alliance.
And then there's this, the Wiener Circle, a brand new sign taking on the Trump administration's policy of segregating immigrant children from their parents. The Wiener Circle late Monday afternoon with a sign that says, free the kids, not without a sign that leads it first that says, tiny hands, tiny wiener, tiny heart.
Finally, the sign guy at Wiener Circle is getting the attention he deserves.
He richly deserves.
I'm always a big fan of when the hot dog stands like, I got something political to say.
Right.
And to spin it back where we started, kids are the innocent victims here. Kids did not ask to come here. And the idea that you're penalizing the parents by taking their kids is so ass backwards, it's ridiculous. The kids are being penalized, regardless of what you think of the parents. And by the way, the notion that the parents from countries where the literacy rate is shockingly low have been given a true story about what asylum is, where the ports of entry are, and how they really are planning to scam the system as they try to stay alive as they go across Mexico is another ridiculous notion. No matter how much of a firm believer you are in a new immigration system, which we do desperately need, this is cruel and unusual, and this is not what America does.
6 of 7 Illinois Republicans, congressmen, have come out against this policy.
Yeah, the Republican list is getting longer and longer. So, and, you know, again, the Pope, he's on board. Fix that and then continue your political argument. 627 and a half, almost 628. What's next? Well, we'll do the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Let's talk a little money here with Jordan.
The best things in life are free.
Jordan Goodman. And he joins us now. Jordan, good morning to you, first off.
Good morning, Steve. And, good to be with you again.
Good to be with you. And tell everybody what the website is.
MoneyAnswers.com. I get emails from your folks all the time.
We were talking earlier, Jordan, about how people have thrown out their back. This athlete taking his pants off. 847, threw my back out brushing my teeth.
See?
Yes.
He bent way over.
Threw my back out picking a tie off the floor. A light cotton tie.
Steve, are you starting to believe me a little bit?
The most dangerous thing in the world is taking your pants off. There's no question about it.
Depends what happens next.
That's exactly right. Jordan Goodman's here. All right, let's talk about the fact that this trade war is on. There are no winners. There are only losers. What did it do to the market yesterday?
Went way down, came back a little bit towards the end, but people are really concerned about this, Steve. We got great momentum, the tax cuts, deregulation, Consumer confidence is high. Unemployment is low. Great things happening. But this is what I call a self-inflicted wound. We did not need to do this. But here's what's happening now. I mean, we just put $50 billion in tariffs on China. China put $50 billion in tariffs on us. And then Trump said, well, that's not enough. Let's do $200 billion if you don't kind of cave in for us. The way I'd like to put it is, in China, it's all about saving face. And with President Trump, it's in your face.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. And the difference in those two philosophies can be very, very dangerous to the economy that has been roaring along. You can put your brakes on hard here. Warren Buffett, Mr. Mellon, amongst others, both saying we are headed into an absolute correction. You agree or disagree?
I do agree. If this continues, I mean, if he adds the $200 billion on top of the $50 billion before, I mean, there's almost nothing left. China, by the way, cannot fully retaliate because they import $134 billion of American goods. So they couldn't go to $200 because they don't buy that much of our stuff, actually. But yes, as prices go up, who pays for it? American consumers. So you're already seeing that in steel and aluminum. Anything that has steel and aluminum has gone up dramatically. Just to give you one example, Steve, washing machines have gone up 17% in the last 3 weeks.
How about
because
that?
Of the parts they have from steel, aluminum, and so on.
Yeah, how about that?
Jordan, I'm interested in the effect this might have on other countries, especially in Asia. As you talk about not just China, but
sure.
A lot of the smaller countries around China that are really sucked into their economy. How does this trade war that is shaping up affect them?
Extremely negatively. I mean, you're right, they're kind of following along China. Not only Singapore, Australia, Japan, all of them. China's the big leader there, and if they shrink, their stock market has been down sharply as well over this. It hurts all of them. The U.S. dollar has been rising as well, which makes it harder for emerging markets because their debt is denominated in dollars. So there's been a lot of fear about whether the emerging markets are going to have a bit of a crisis here as well. This is totally unnecessary, okay? This is a self-inflicted wound. And I think it's really going to hurt our markets. I think it's time to take a little money off the table, Steve. We've had a real rise for pretty much 9 years here, and I think it's time to get a little conservative.
As we continue this, what is your number one concern as the markets open today? Just continued effects of this?
Well, the trade wars and the ramping up of tensions. China offered $70 billion more, that they would buy $70 billion more of American products last week, and Trump rejected it, saying, no, we want $200. And now that offer's off the table. So they tried to head this war off, but it's not working.
Jordan, you know, I read, taking a devil's advocate approach for President Trump and his approach to the trade war, or to at least tariffs, he has said that tariffs have been political in the past and that the U.S. hasn't had a fair share, and this is him righting the ship. Since World War II, he feels that it's time for the U.S. to stop giving handouts and to be equal footing when it comes to trade. You can understand it as an American. Well, you can understand
With the problem. Okay, which is that China has had high tariffs, has stolen our intellectual property and technology, has supported state-owned enterprises pouring aluminum and steel on the market. I agree with all these things, but the question is how you solve it.
Right.
Okay, if you look over the long term, say the last 20 years, tariffs have come down, and Americans have gotten much bigger presence in China than they did in the past. So it's gotten better, it's just not getting better fast enough for Trump. The question is, if you bang them over the head like this, is that going to help? And clearly it's not. It gets their back up. And the same thing is true with Canada and Mexico and Europe. When you bang people over the head, they don't say, oh, great, let me concede and give you everything you want. Just not the way it works.
Yeah, and a lot of this is being blamed on the residual effects of NAFTA. Look, layer it out all you want. The bottom line is the same, and the bottom line is that China's not going to back down
right. Just
because we stood up, and there's ways to do this, and this isn't one of them.
And same thing with Canada. I mean, when they had the G7, and they were insulting each other and all those kind of things, one of our closest allies, they put $13 billion in tariffs on us. So just to give you one example, Steve, Canadian timber has gone up dramatically. It's adding $9,000 to the average cost of a home built with Canadian timber. So that just happened immediately.
Just out of the gate.
Just out of the gate, because the Canadian timber has gone up because of the tariffs. That's just one example.
More with Jordan Goodman in a second. The texters continue to tell their sad stories of their broken backs. 219, I threw my back out picking up the empty plastic bag. Yes, the empty plastic bag. 847, threw my back out brushing my teeth, as I said. 773, threw my back out picking up a tie. 847, injured my back doing something trivial. Well, that's likely due to years of micro-trauma. Like a pitcher who injured his arm after a season of throwing, your back susceptible. Build your core. Be a great way to address it. That comes from a physical therapist.
Mm.
Another person said vigorously washing their hands.
That's interpretive.
You can't make it up.
What's vigorous?
Some ways to save your own money in a second with Jordan Goodman. And again, the website, Jordan, is what?
MoneyAnswers.com.
Stand by for that on 720 WGN.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
6:52, Jordan Goodman. All right, let's talk about a couple things here. Let's go lightning round right out of the gate. Student loans. Help me now.
Well, we just had the graduation season, and we added $100 billion in new student loan debt because of that. So a lot of people got a lot of debt. They want to refinance their student loans to typically 2 to 3%, something like that. There's a place called Credible that does that. Website credible.com/moneyanswers. They know it's me that way. You get $200 off your first payment. They also have a phone number, 855-870-6005. So you can combine federal loans, private loans, all into one in the 2 to 3% range.
Credible, spelled like credible, not with a K.
Not with a K. No, credible.com/moneyanswers.
It'd be interesting if credible was spelled with a K and it was for college loans. That would kind of defeat the purpose, right? Wouldn't it?
Right.
Car loans.
So car loans, you can refinance to from whatever interest rate you have now to lower
I never knew that until you brought this up.
Absolutely. And not only can you refinance, but you can change the maturity to get the payment down to a more affordable level. So a free website for that is MyLoanGen, G-E-N, MyLoanGen.com. You put everything about your existing car loan and says, okay, it gives you little dials, almost like a driving dial, and you move it to where you want, both interest rate and maturity, and get the payment down so you can avoid having the repo man take your car in the middle of the night.
Credit cards.
So credit cards have gone up. You know, the Federal Reserve raised rates last week, another quarter point. They're going to raise it twice more this year. So it's getting very expensive to do credit cards. We have over $1 trillion in credit card debt. Two websites to help you there. The first one is guidetocreditcard.com. That actually gives you a choice of all the different best credit cards out there in the country. Frequent flyer miles, rebates, whatever you like. And then you can go to a nonprofit credit counseling place to consolidate all your debt into one at typically like 6, 7% interest rate like that. Place for their nonprofit is called Cambridge Credit Counseling, cambridgecredit.org, 800-897-2200.
And as a general question, do you like the incentivized credit cards?
I do. You want to get one or two cards that give you the benefits you want the most. Could be a rebate, could be freaking flyer miles. I hear you want the SpaceX one that's going to take you to Mars. Is that right?
I'm trying to get my Mars points. That's exactly right.
So there's lots of different choices, but get your spending on something that you want the most. I think you look good on Mars, actually.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. The word is that it's thinning. 847, slimming would be the word I was looking for. Would refinancing my student loans negatively affect any of the student loan forgiveness programs?
Potentially, but forgiveness doesn't. There is something called the income-based repayment program.
It's a loaded word in this case, right?
Yeah. But it's very difficult to get into that. But yes, you are taking the loans out of the federal era into the private sector when you do credible. So you might, they'll go through all that when you talk to them, but a lot of people don't get their loans forgiven, so you're not giving up much.
Credit rating change when you use any of the companies you just talked about?
Negatively,
credit ratings effective negatively? This is a general question.
No, it's a new loan. Yeah. When you do a credible, it's a new loan, and they're going to look at your credit. But no, it's not going to affect you. Never. You don't want to have a lot of loan applications at the same time. But no, unless you're going out and opening all kinds of accounts all the time, Credible's not going to hurt you.
Does Credible refinance Parent Plus loans?
Yes, they do. Okay. So you can do parent loans and student loans. And you know, today now you have grandparents taking student loans as well, because the parents and the kids are already maxed out.
All right, and the fact that GE was dumped from the Dow.
Yes, amazing.
I mean, it's
after 100 years.
A reasonable move by the Dow?
Well, it's certainly a major manufacturer, but it's not doing well, and it's been breaking up. So that was an amazing thing that they actually dumped GE, because that was the original Dow company.
I think more than, what, 25, 30 years?
That's right. Back to the beginning. I think the Dow started in 1898, as I remember, something like that. So back to the beginning.
It's pretty remarkable. Walgreens, Chicago's own, is now on the big board. I've said for 1,000 years that we pay attention to the wrong thing, and we announce the wrong thing consistently here. The S&P is a better judge of the economy. Is that accurate?
Well, it's much broader. I mean, that's 500 companies as opposed to 30. But, I mean, Walgreens is not exactly a manufacturer, which is what the industrial average was supposed to be.
Right.
But it's a completely new world right now. I mean, there's all kinds of companies in there that are not manufacturers as such, J.P. Morgan and so on. But it just kind of shows GE has fallen so far. I mean, it had been the ultimate blue chip company, and now basically they're breaking it up.
Cash out of the market or not?
I think you should take some cash out of the market, yes. And you want to be safe with it. I mean, I'll tell you the place that's been very popular with your listeners as a way of kind of a hiding place are these secured real estate funds where you get an 8% yield over a one-year time frame, and it doesn't go up or down in value at all. So it's not affected by the craziness in the stock market.
Sounds too good to be true. How do you get 8%?
The website is securedrealestatefunds.com, and they're lending money short-term, like over a year, for commercial real estate projects all over the country. And they've had a long-term track record of doing that. And it's a diversified portfolio. They might have 30 loans at any particular time.
You got your money in this?
I do.
Okay, we can put some more in and with my name on it?
Yes, we could put it with your name on it.
All right, and one more. A stock you like today, even in a market where maybe I'd go cash?
NVIDIA is probably the hottest chip stock. They make all the chips that go into gaming, cloud computing, artificial intelligence, Bitcoin mining, every hot thing out there, they make the chips for it. In fact, there was this big supercomputer where we have now finally beaten the Chinese, and it's loaded with NVIDIA chips. So that's a super hot stock.
Yeah, and by the way, if you had jumped into this when I did, when Jordan told us about it 6 months ago, maybe longer?
Probably longer,
yeah. Longer than that. Very nice return. Thank you very much.
It was about 40 or something then, and now it's like 260 or something like that.
Right.
So that's done really, really well. And,
and I
think we'll continue.
$4 in, and that $4 has really jumped.
That's great.
So
between that and not taking your back out, you're doing great, Steve.
Thank you, buddy. All the best. How do we contact you?
MoneyAnswers.com. Always glad to get emails from your listeners, you bet.
MoneyAnswers.com with Jordan Goodman. Your news is next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La, 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 la. La, la, la,
la. 713. One of my favorite groups that I have the honor to be involved with is Tuskegee next, but let's backtrack for a second. Pat Brady's here. The Tuskegee Airmen, a group of African-American black men put together to basically validate racial behavior and prejudice in the military. The idea being, and Pat Brady, let me turn your microphone on. That might help. There you go. The idea being, well, we'll prove that they can't fight or fly or aren't brave or aren't patriots. Obviously, it went exactly the other way, and the Tuskegee Airmen is one of the great stories to come out of World War II.
It's truly one of the great stories, and we've both had the honor of meeting some of the originals, and just to talk to them, it's really kind of get kind of awestruck. You're living history talking to them, and they tell the story of what they went through to get to where they were and how successful they were and how humble they are and grateful they are just to be in this country. It's really, they're really a true American heroes.
So that seems like ancient history. It's not. It happened, in our lifetimes, our grandparents' lifetimes, my dad's lifetime, if he were still with us. And the question is, how do you pay it forward? So that brings us to my friend and yours, Pat, Steve Davis. Steve's got a good life going on. You know, he's got a thriving company doing well.
He
didn't need this. And Steve saw an opportunity that I did not see, and that even as a pilot, I don't think you saw as well, did you?
No, this is totally his idea. It's been hugely successful and hugely rewarding and hopefully helpful to this next generation of pilots.
So, Steve, good to see you. Explain what Tuskegee Next is.
Good morning, Steve. First, thank you so much for being an ambassador for Tuskegee
Happy
Next.
To be.
Thank you for being the MC at our gala in April. We had over 450 people there to see you and hear you, and thank you. Thank you.
That was a great night, and to have two of the original Tuskegee Airmen there was really something else. That's goosebump stuff just shaking our hands.
It is, and the first time when we came up with this idea, my dad was a World War II veteran, my hero. I've named our company after him because of his work ethic, because of what he believed and what he stood for, and how much he loved his children. But the idea of Tuskegee Next is to honor the legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen, as you said, a group of men that went and fought violently in World War II, came home and could not find jobs in aviation, but nevertheless served with valor, served with honor, and without bitterness. And that is just a tremendous legacy for this country, because the real gift for people in this country is people that give more than they take. And I cannot think of any group that did that more than the Tuskegee Airmen. I think John Kennedy said, not ask what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's what that generation did. And I am proud to follow in that legacy, and a group of us got together and talked about some of the challenges we have in urban America, some of the opportunities with jobs and lack of pilots. American Airlines believes they're going to have to replace over 50% of their pilots over the next 10 years.
Think about that. Half of the folks that fly your American Airlines jets are going to be out. They're going to need new jobs because they've either aged out or they've decided to get out of the business.
Absolutely. And they've been a partner and a donator to our cause. And I think selfishly so, if that's okay, because they need a pool of pilots. And I love that. And then you think about this great facility we have at DuPage Airport and Illinois Aviation Academy, who's teamed with us to do the training. And we're in our going into our fourth class, I think our third or fourth time on WGN Radio with
you. Easily,
and thank you again for being such an...
Well, the amazing thing to me is, and Pat, you and I have talked about this on the golf course too, is Steve comes up with this concept, so we're going to take inner city kids, most of which haven't been to DuPage County, let alone to the airport, haven't seen a cow in a field, and I'm going to take them out and I'm going to teach them how to fly. That's an amazing leap and a brilliant one, because the kids that you've chosen wouldn't have this kind of opportunity, and you've sparked something inside them that maybe wouldn't have been sparked otherwise. And you're building not just that next generation of pilots, but you're helping them maximize their lives.
Well, thank you. And I think all of us, someone in our lives paid it forward for us.
Right.
I had people that came along beside me when I was 12, 13, 14, you know, at that age where I could have made a decision and went in a total different direction.
Sure.
And I think that's just critical. And that's what we try to do in our program, is find those kids that are maybe like us, maybe a little mischievous, maybe right on the brink of doing something good or something really
fork
bad.
Fork in the road, man.
Yeah, and bringing them and helping them to fly airplanes. And it has just been unbelievable to see these kids after they've soloed for the first time. I asked the kids when they first come, and I had their parents and 10 of our cadets for this class at my house on Sunday for a barbecue, and I asked, look me in the eye and smile. That's all I want you to do.
Right.
And sometimes because they're new to the area, because they don't know what they're getting into, they have a hard time doing it.
Sure.
Remember until the lady, they fly an airplane for the first time, until they solo.
When the young woman that spoke at the event in April got
amazing.
Up, she was unbelievable, first of all, but secondly, she goes, I'm afraid of heights.
She was literally, that's not an exaggeration, she was afraid, petrified of heights, but wanted this opportunity, and now she is a proud pilot.
And she is one of many that I'm proud of. And again, she's a student at Tuskegee University in Alabama. I think, can I say the word aeronautical engineering major?
Wow, that was close. You could have pulled a muscle there. Dave, you could have thrown out his back just by saying,
no question.
Aeronautical engineers here and there. Well, here's what I want to do. There's a young man that's with you, who we're going to meet in just a second, who is in the midst of the program, who can tell you what it's all about. And by the way, he's got a great pilot name. Captain Channing Gray. You're going to feel good about being on that airplane.
Yes, sir.
We'll come back with Channing in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruise through
a lot of good times.
WGNRadio.com/contest. You can win yourself Chevy Silverado limited edition in that centennial blue color that you won't see anywhere else. It's great. Get yours by going to WGNRadio.com/contest and register today. Do you want to give away the Blackhawks stuff?
I do, yeah. Let's go. You know, I think Patrick Kane was, we have the Blackhawks convention passes. He's 88.
Mm-hmm.
8 plus 8 is 16 divided by 2. Eight. Let's do 8th caller.
All right.
See what I did there? 3
that
1 2.
That seems totally sensible.
Now, that was I mean, that's what I'm going to bring to this show is a lot of
mm-hmm.
math. 312-981-7200. 8th caller is going to get the back of Blackhawks convention passes.
4 passes, the 11th annual convention, July 27th through the 29th, ChicagoBlackhawks.com for details. We're talking about Tuskegee next. Pat Brady, when did you find out about this? When your microphone was turned on?
Yes, we go. When my good friend Steve Davis approached me about it, he told me the idea. I go, wow, that's a great idea. And so a couple, 4 or 5 years ago.
And we had an opportunity to meet many of these kids that are in the program at the gala we talked about earlier. But Channing Gray is here. Channing, tell me your story. Where are you growing up?
Well, I'm from Atlanta, South Atlanta, Georgia, like 20 minutes outside the city.
Yes, what sir. Town?
Henry County, McDonough, that area.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. And were you interested in flying?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I've been interested in flying since I was about 12 years old. My mom took me to go see the movie Red Tails. And after that, I was like, Mom, I know what I want to do. But I'm an only child. So she, at first, she was like, no, you're not. But right. She's cool with it now. She's growing on, too, and she's helping me get here. So.
Would you have been able to do this on your own?
Oh, no. No, it takes a village to raise a child, like they say. But this is aviation, something that not a lot of people really know about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not something that's really advertised. So,
well, the kids you're growing up with, I'm assuming nobody said, hey,
oh, no.
I'm going to be a pilot.
Of course not. When my friends asked me what I was doing this summer, I was like, I'm going to Chicago to fly planes. They're like, what are you
what?
Doing? Yeah, they're like, so, yeah, it's not really something that's really in my area really known about because it's not really
where advertised. Are you in the program? How deep are you into it at this point? First year?
This is the second day of the program.
Second day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We started.
But you did
early.
The ground school already.
Oh, yes. We finished the ground school. We did all that. Well, we did that on Skype. So we would do online ground school classes for the people
that were
out of state. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So second day meaning what? What'd you do on day one?
We flew day one. We had ground school at Illinois Aviation. And then, actually, no, we started out flying. And then we had ground school at Illinois Aviation. And then we ended the day. And then we did that again yesterday.
What was it like? What was it like to be to have everything that you've done, the Skype, everything that led up to the point to day one of this program, and to fly yesterday?
Oh, it was definitely a rigorous course because, you know, it was like 40, 50 kids that applied and only 10 of us made it. So it was definitely hard. But it was a great experience. I feel like it prepared me for coming out here.
What was day one like for you?
Day one of the program, we got out the van and straight into an airplane. So we got on the bar.
How excited were you, honestly? I mean, when you get up and you're looking down at the ground, I don't care if it's DuPage County. How excited were you?
Oh, no, I was really excited. It was great. It was a great first day. I was excited to be here, happy to be here. Can't wait to get my private pilot's license. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here.
And that moment, Steve Davis, when these guys solo, that's got to be emotional for you.
It truly is to see some of these young men and women achieve those goals and have that smile on their face that you can't wipe out off is absolutely it's just not describable. I often tell people that I think most of us are made deep down inside to serve others. And your real true happiness comes from seeing others achieve greatness. And for me to watch these kids soar, I can't describe it.
Now, there is a way for you to help because the idea is this is not going to cost these kids money. We want to scholarship kids into this program as much as possible. So let's challenge other companies like yours.
Well, absolutely. One of the things the challenges that we're having, quite frankly, is one, Pat Brady. You know, Pat's our finance, our CFO of our program. He's done a tremendous job.
And you're still in business. That's scary.
Tremendous job reaching out and helping us raise money. The community has really embraced this. The challenge that I have to say that I didn't expect were the lack of kids. And I don't know if it's because kids don't think about it, they're not exposed, but what you've been able to do and what I'm going to ask you to continue to do is let the world know that what we're doing in DuPage County. We spend about $25,000 per cadet. It's a 10 to 12 week program. They live on campus, room and board, and successful completion, they get a $1,000 stipend. And we think that this is just a tremendous effort. We're going to be doing some things different. We've learned some things. We're talking with various junior colleges on having a teaming agreement to help our kids not only get them through the program, but also place them in a two-year university with an emphasis on STEM, and hopefully then at a four-year university like Southern Illinois that has an aviation program, or Lewis, or an Emory-Riddle, or a Middle Tennessee State.
So they can continue their education.
Yes.
And then maybe you have an idea spark that you're going to do something else in the aviation field, and maybe not be a pilot. But either way, your ideas are sparked, and your creativity sparked, and everything's possible. Pat and I are good friends, and Pat, I've known you long enough to know how much flying means to you.
Sure.
Is that one of the reasons you're so tight on this?
Oh, absolutely. But let's take a step back. Steve Davis has, to the great extent, made this program work the last 4 years. So we need to raise a lot more money from other sources. But yeah, and Channing, I soloed 30 years ago. And that first time I took off, it was just an unbelievable feeling. I'm sure it was the same for you.
Oh, yeah. My first solo was great. I soloed down in Atlanta before I came up here.
How was the landing? That's always it's easy getting up. It's harder getting down.
It is important to bring it down in one piece.
Yeah, most definitely. But it was great. I actually got to go in the morning. So I did my solo when the sun was coming up. It was beautiful. It was like a freeing experience.
You know, Steve, too, we talk about the legacy of the people that this is an honor of. And you and I were standing next to two of the originals when the color guard walked in.
Unbelievable.
And nobody, these guys are in their 90s, snapped up quicker, took their hats off, and had a salute out quicker than those two.
You know, when I had the most respect for him, when I started talking, one of them had to go to the men's room. He wasn't stopping. He walked right in front of me going, I'm going to the men's room. I work for this. And that they were just incredible guys.
Well, I asked the one guy, I'm trying to blank out his name now, there was a jet in the hangar. I go, hey, do you think we could fire that thing up? He goes, yeah, let's go.
It's an amazing program, but I really do want to challenge myself. I want to challenge some corporations to step up the way your company has, the way Pat has through Pat's network. He's asked for a lot of money. He's gotten a lot of money, but we want more kids in the program. You'll find the kids.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure we can get the kids in the program and have them supported. So what do they do?
Well, one of the things...
Contact you? Is that the best thing
to do? Absolutely. Go to Tuskegee Next. Just Google Tuskegee Next. Go online. Let us know we're out there. Also, we're putting together a little We Can Fly challenge. If I have just 2 minutes, if you remember the iconic photo of Eleanor Roosevelt in the cockpit with two Tuskegee pilots, as you know, there was two programs going on at Tuskegee at that time. Number one, they were testing the effects of syphilis on men.
Yep.
The other was that black men couldn't fly airplanes. So Eleanor Roosevelt flies down to Moton Field, gets in the airplane, and in the Secret Service, they're saying, no, you can't do this. She says, I'm going to do it anyway. The legend goes she flew around for nearly an hour. When she landed, she said, I guess you guys can fly.
Right.
So,
and it was a huge deal. It was a huge step.
Huge. So not only was the military integrated at that time by the Tuskegee Airmen serving in the European fleet, theater, but also later Truman integrated the entire military.
Right.
So if you don't have that historic fight, if you don't have the success of the Tuskegee Airmen, which many believe fell the first brick of the wall of segregation in this country with the military. And then after that, probably was with athletics, with Jackie Robinson.
Yep.
And then you had the wall just fall and fall. So if we don't have this iconic flight, you maybe not have a Steve Davis today.
Did we ever make Eleanor Roosevelt an honorary Tuskegee Airman? She certainly earned it, didn't she?
She did. But what we would like people to do, thought leaders, I've talked with Ann Pomajori from ComEd, Ann Rondo from College of DuPage, about coming out and taking a flight, getting a photo, and then post it on the internet.
That's it.
On the We Can Fly challenge, just to let the world know what's going on with Tuskegee Next. So anybody wants to come to DuPage Airport and fly with our kids, make a small donation, but more importantly, post it on the internet so the world will know what's going on and about the legacy of the Tuskegee.
How about you make a big donation?
I would love that.
Channing, last word?
Yeah, the Tuskegee Airmen were definitely a big influence. And I remember when I was in Atlanta before I came up here, I went to go speak to my old private school, the third and fourth grade students, about aviation during Black History Month. And I asked them, do any of you know who the Tuskegee Airmen are? And none of them raised their hands. So I was excited to be able to do that and continue to pass on the legacy. And so, yeah, it's something that we do definitely need to keep up at the forefront, because if it weren't for them, I really would not be here right now. Because,
and you're going to be a fighter pilot someday, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm trying to fly those F-35s. Yes, sir.
I'd take you on a front line anytime, my friend. We need more of you. Yes. People checking in from all over. Faith from Elburn. My brother went to SIU for airplane mechanics, still passionate about flying. Lakeland University in Sheboygan, listening and loves this talk about what you're doing at Tuskegee Next. What's the website at Tuskegee Next?
TuskegeeNext.org.
TuskegeeNext.org. And you're good to go. Steve, nice to see you, man.
Steve, as always, and congratulations on the new digs. I love it here.
What do you think? Pretty nice, right?
Pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
You deserve it. Thank you.
Channing, it's an honor to meet you.
Oh, it's an honor to meet you too, Mr. Steve. Thank you for having me.
Nothing but upside for you. And Pat? Pat Brady is a good man, and I know how much he's meant for to you and to Tuskegee Next. All right, we'll come back in a moment with headlines on 720 WGN.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
I want to thank the Tuskegee Next guys again. Channing Gray's mom is on the phone. I love this. Selena Gray, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. How'd your son do?
Oh, I was so proud of him. You know, I can hear the growth in his voice and, you know, just in the way he presented himself. It's nothing but a blessing, you know, for Channing to be in this awesome program. You know, from the time he said he saw that Red Tails movie to, you know, all that we've done to lead up to this moment with Steve Davis.
He wasn't kidding. He saw Red Tails. He said, Mom, I'm going to be a pilot.
Oh, not only a pilot, he said, Mom, I want to be a fighter pilot. Ooh. And I said, well, son, you know, why don't you just be a regular pilot, you know? And I kept trying to, you know, persuade him that being a commercial pilot was the way to go. And then through this journey, a pilot said to me, Miss Gray, that is his dream. And don't try to talk him out of what he really wants to do. You said you taught him to dream big. Well, let him have this dream. And then that's when I just let go and I began to just support what he wanted to do and just ask God to show me how to put my hands, how Channing could put his hands on it so that it was a tangible experience for him.
I got to tell you, this is incredible. You're an incredible woman. I have no doubt you're a great mom, but you're a heck of a woman as well to step up like this, because it's not easy for a mom to hear, I'm going to go be a fighter pilot. And then, you know, maybe you're going, well, what is this Chicago thing? And you find out not only is it all good, all real, and all great, your kid, as you said, you hear personal growth in him. So good step by you too, Mom.
Well, thank you so much. It was worth the, we drove from McDonough, Georgia, all the way to, Chicago, my first time driving out there. And, you know, I drove back by myself, but I left with a confidence because, you know, Mr.
You knew
Davis
your kid was going to be okay.
I knew he was going to be more than okay.
There
I met
go.
Steve Davis and his family, and this group of people are dream weavers. That's how I identify them. They are taking these kids to the next level with the Tuskegee Next program. And that's what I kept calling them. I said, you guys are dream weavers.
That's
his wife, Sonia, and his children. The whole family, they are dream weavers, and my son is just blessed to be in that program, you know, and
well, Steve will tell
I'm
you.
Blessed.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steve will tell you that they're blessed to have him. By the way, again, it's hashtag We Can Fly Challenge. That's hashtag We Can Fly Challenge on your social media. And what's the website again?
TuskegeeNext.org.
Yeah. Listen, I love your passion for it, and I know you miss having your boy at home, but he's doing great stuff here. And it won't be long. He'll be able to put you in an airplane and fly you around, Salita.
Well, I did it once, and in that moment, I said, Lord, please help me to get my son some training that he'll need to be the best pilot out
there.
He's
getting it.
And so he's definitely getting it now under Mr. Davis's leadership.
You're a good person. Great. Thank you for being on the show, Salita Gray. I like that. That pump you up,
yeah,
won't
right?
it?
Although I love his story, because when he told the story about his mom, he said, I told her I wanted to be a pilot, and she was like, no, you're an only child. I'm like, he left out the word fighter. There's a big right. difference.
Yeah, he didn't let us know that part.
It's like, wait.
Stand by. It's 7:49. We'll come back in just a second. You want to play a match game? John DeCostas here.
We I would love to play
you
a match game.
Match
I've
game?
Never played match game. I'm
well,
excited.
Well, you have to be a celebrity on match game now. Oh, no, it's nothing like that one.
Oh, okay.
Even though the premiere with Alec Baldwin is Thursday night.
Well, is it?
It's nothing like that.
Okay. Yeah,
so. New season on ABC. We get nothing for saying that. Completely different game. If you want to play, we need two contestants. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. And again, Tuskegee next. Mom approved. You heard it here. Yeah. Again, nothing like that match game you've played, though the rules are exactly
nothing,
the same.
Nothing.
All right, here's what you do. We lost one of our contestants. One of our contestants apparently had to take a call from Alec Baldwin. 312-981-7200. Room for you to get in for fabulous prizes. Amongst the prizes we're playing for, a cool behind-the-scenes deal at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies, where you'll also not just come out and hang out on the show, you're going to take a tethered balloon ride with Justin Kaufman.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
See?
What's tethered? That means you don't get to go up into the
yeah,
clouds?
It's to a rope, you know, it's
like a foot off the ground.
You're actually.
It's 8 feet. It's
you're
8 feet.
Tethered. Yeah, I'm tethered.
Not the balloon.
I'm tied to the balloon, and it flies away.
Yeah. We begin with, are we ready in the newsroom? Ready with Mary? All right, all looks good. Let's go to Mike first in Valpo. Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
How are you, man?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing great. All right, Mike, it's not like match game, but it's played exactly the same way. So you're going to ask a question, John.
Yes.
Mike, don't give your answer till the celebrities are locked in.
You got it, Mike? And I'll ask you that. I'll ask you for your answer when they're all ready. And are you ready? Is everybody ready? Here
yes.
we go.
Ready.
Justin Kaufman and Pete Zimmerman are so confused now that they have switched both shows and building. They mistakenly showed up to do a show at blank.
They showed up to do a show at blank. They were confused.
They were confused. I will read it again. Justin Kaufman and Pete Zimmerman are so confused now that they have switched both shows and buildings. They mistakenly showed up to do a show at blank.
Do I answer that?
Yes.
We all do.
Oh.
No, you don't speak out loud.
Not out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not out loud till you're asked.
We need to tether Justin here.
Trade war. Tariffs. Did I get
trade
it?
War is incorrect.
No, okay.
All right, I'm locked in. Everybody locked in?
Everybody
yep.
in?
Locked in. Yep.
Locked in. All right.
Mike, give us your answer.
I'm going to go with Tribune Tower.
Tribune Tower.
Tribune Tower.
Tribune Tower. Good
That's
answer.
That's a good answer.
Good logical answer. Not a chance it's right, but
yep.
good logical answer.
With this crew.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not your fault, Mike.
All right,
okay.
Let's go.
Here we go. Mary?
Mary. Sandberg, what do you got?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I apologize. Yes, Mary Vandeveld.
Okay.
Oh, well, I went with the time, 6 p.m., not a.m.
So
oh,
they
good.
Showed up at 6 p.m., not 6 a.m.
Yes.
No, that's
that
good. That's
sense.
Good, Mary. I'm very
yeah.
proud of you.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what we're looking for.
Well,
sense.
Thank
okay.
you.
Mary Sandberg.
The pump room.
That's a funny answer. The pump room.
That's pretty good.
They showed up at the pump room, the classic Chicago pump room.
Yes. Dave Ennett.
B96.
Okay. Very good, Dave.
That's
Dave,
a very good answer.
Answer.
That's
Dave,
a
very good,
good
answer.
Answer.
Yeah. Okay. Justin?
And I will go with Mary Vandeveld and the time.
You don't get to pick
get
the answer of somebody else.
No, that's what I had.
Come
I had
up with
oh, okay. 7 p.m.
I thought you didn't have your own answer.
No, that's good. Down that's good. So we can
oh, I thought I just judged the best one in the room, and then
that's
I,
good.
I
oh, thank
doubled
you.
It.
That's good.
What
Steve?
About Steve Grzanich?
Steve Grzanich?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that's an answer more for Steve than it is for the contest.
That's pretty good.
And for no apparent reason, I went with Blue Man Group.
Blue Man Group?
Yeah, Blue Man Group.
Is that still playing?
I don't know, but it's the worst answer I've ever given in this game.
I know, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it, Mike. Not one match, but that's okay.
Mike, your answer was really good. The rest of us sucked, except for Dave, which had a really good answer at B96.
Thank you.
But hang on.
All right, hold on. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, you need to get one correct celebrity match to win. What's her question?
Here we go, Debbie, and don't give me your answer until I ask for it. Here we go. The new studios at WGN are beautiful and with state-of-the-art technology. Now they're so advanced, the Steve Cochran Show is broadcast from blank.
So advanced, they're broadcast from blank. Sounds like Debbie has arrived at work.
I will read it again. Yes. The new studios at WGN are beautiful. And with state-of-the-art technology, it's so advanced now that Steve Cochran Show is broadcast from blank.
All right.
Tell me when everybody's locked in. Everybody have an answer?
Locked in.
Locked in.
Everybody?
Yep,
good. In. Justin, yes?
Locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, locked in. Mary? Locked in. Mary Vandeveld?
Why do I have to
Debbie,
go first?
Well,
no,
Debbie's
answer. I just
want
to hear it. Debbie, what
answer.
Is your answer?
And by the way, Debbie apparently is either at work or locked in some Houdini-like magic trick.
That's okay.
Because I hear her working a padlock there.
I know. We apologize, Debbie. We don't know where you're at.
All right, okay.
I'm in the parking lot at work.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
That was my answer.
My answer is home.
Home. Very good.
That's a good answer. Again,
that
it's a logical
a good answer.
Answer. Yeah.
That is a good answer. And one that Steve wishes could happen.
Yes.
Okay.
Many days.
Let's I'm going to switch around. Dave Bennett, let's start with you.
From our minds.
Ah, oh, I love
that
it. That's
that.
Here. Winner.
Dave, I'm telling you.
Dave, this is your
Bennett
best morning ever.
Touche. That's good.
Yeah.
That is
very
good.
By
Justin,
the way.
I don't
I
know.
Say from the tip-top-tap, high-tap, the Allerton Hotel.
That's good.
That is
good.
Reference.
That's a throwback.
Very
yes.
entertaining.
That's good. Steve Cochran.
B96. B96.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very good.
B96.
Mary Vandeveld.
Well, I just said the toilet.
Oh, why
okay.
is that technologically
that's
advanced?
Okay.
I don't know.
That is okay.
Because
that's
we
okay.
had, I don't know. It's a pretty nice bathroom.
That's okay. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Mary Sandberg.
The Apple Store.
Oh, technologically advanced.
That's actually, these
Sandberg,
are all...
you're doing well.
Yeah,
yeah you're doing
that.
Well.
Yeah.
You're coming back.
I'm bringing it today. It's the new studios.
Yeah,
also, Mary Vandeveld broke our bathroom, just so you know.
I didn't break it. The cement almost fell on my head.
She ripped the doors out of the walls.
I'm very strong.
She hulked it.
She hulked it,
wow.
yes.
Yeah. And Steve Rozanich?
I said from space.
Of course, yes. Good answer.
By the way,
good
I obviously answer. Missed the answer. I should have had 309 texter. You get credit. They are broadcasting from the Double Wide in East St. Louis. How did I not know
oh,
that?
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
All right,
okay,
no matches.
All tied.
Oh, fantastic.
Tell them what they've won.
Congratulations. Stand by. What do we do now? We've only got one of these grandparents. Chambering?
I'm going to give somebody the pair of tickets with the tethered balloon ride, and then I'm going to give the other one the family pack of four tickets.
Okay, so that'd be good. So find out, like...
I'll find out which of them has a family.
Yeah,
and then maybe give the
one that didn't get the big deal, maybe give them, you know, all the money in Justin's wallet.
I think Debbie's still in prison.
I gave
so I don't know if she'll be able to get out.
She's in that parking lot,
in the parking lot.
Dave, do you have another answer?
What was the question?
All right, then.
We'll
take a break.
It.
Come back with the news next. You've been listening to Match Game on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Steve Cochran Show continues. This is show number 1,171 or show number 3. It's one or the other.
One or the other.
I haven't really decided if we're going to start the count over or Sandberg prefers.
I like show number 3. Feels good to me.
Show number 3 feels good to me. It's time for more on entertainment.
It's show number 1 that's changing color.
Were you as amused by that as I was?
I can relate to it, being of
a bald guy, fellow
similar,
bald guy.
Yeah, similar. You get these spots on your head, and this, you know, I went to the dermatologist and said, "You know, I'm getting these. We used to call them sunspots."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he goes, "My friend, those are not sunspots. That's possible
skin cancer
that you have on your head."
Oh,
so at least Stephanie was being
concerned.
Yeah. Yes, but the great Dr. Bacci, a tremendous dermatologist, maybe the best in the world, took a gun filled with Freon and shot me in the head with it, 190 degrees below zero.
I had the same.
Burned the spot off. Now, because you hit the head with that, and I have a large head, I don't know if you notice, it takes a couple of days for it to return to its normal handsome self.
But do you have a Band-Aid or anything on it?
No, I want everyone to see it.
Well,
well, now
you're asking for
the
it.
Level of your chair puts it right at our eye level. Like, it's
are you
right.
saying it's not just a distraction? It's offensive to you?
Well, not offensive. We're very aware. I noticed it yesterday.
Are there a lot of people talking about it behind my back?
Yes, yeah. Everyone's asking.
That's why in the show, every time one of us talks besides you, we're like, before we start the sentence.
Because of that.
True. I mean, Steve, tell me about
frightening the adults.
Also, Steve, what is that thing on your head?
No, that's my face.
Oh,
that's totally different.
Well, you can all make fun of this, but this happened several years ago with Steve, and you'll find if you connect some of those spots on his head, it's a perfect likeness of Little Orphan Annie.
True story. Yeah, he's not lying. He is not lying. Let's see. We've got some more texters coming in on something Dave brought up 2 hours ago. Just casually mentioned in a sports cast that a professional athlete threw out his back, taking his pants off. 815, my husband threw out his back pumping gas. 847, I hurt my back pulling my pants up.
Yeah.
My brother was putting traction sweeping a kitchen floor. He says, you want more? I'll call the rest of the family. 630, I tweaked my back turning and bending to load the dishwasher. And my wife still wouldn't let me get out of loading the dishwasher. But Dean, my favorite all morning, I blew out my back playing bingo.
Wow. That's a strenuous game.
You must have yelled bingo.
Yeah, I think that's Grzanich is right. Yeah. I think that's you jump bingo. Up and you yell.
I like how you guys are putting common sense in this.
My mom is a big aficionado of the bingo game now. And
what, she stretches before she plays?
Well, she does. You got to fully hydrate and stretch. But I've seen these people take their bingo seriously at some of these joints.
Oh, yeah. I call bingo on Saturdays at my mom's place, and there's a 103-year-old lady that wins all the time, and she has a booming voice. She goes, bingo! And everybody else goes, she wins all the time.
I've seen some of those old ladies wearing shoulder pads and helmets.
You know, the skill that goes into bingo?
But yes. It sounds like the word around your mom's place is that the 103-year-old's cheating the system.
I know, and I said, Tilly, she does not.
She's got a pocket
Tilly.
B.
Tilly, did you hear that? Tilly's the one that's complaining.
No, Tilly is the 103-year-old.
Oh,
Tilly's the cheater.
Yeah, who's going to bust the 103-year-old lady also?
Marriott, your bingo, do they have that little stamper bingo for the cards, or is it little pieces?
It's the dabber.
The dabber.
They call them the dabbers, boy, they're serious about those dabbers.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was once at a, down in Arizona on an Indian reservation, and played bingo. It was huge. There was like 500 people in the room.
Bragger.
And I didn't recognize that they were doing like a special game. And I got five down or whatever, and they told me, I was a kid, I was like 15, 16, they said, you got to really shout bingo. So I got up on the chair, and I was like, bingo! And they're like, no, you don't have it. Like, it was way too early in the game. So
you had to have like extra straight lines?
Then I had to get up on the chair and be like, my bad! Don't throw your cards away!
Wah, wah.
How about this? 217 texter, at my mother's assisted living bingo games, they get so angry they throw chips at each other and miss.
Wow. It's very serious, especially if you put a nickel in the pot instead of the quarter.
Oh, Gladys, boy. Hold still so I can hit you with a bingo chip. Coming up, Game of Thrones, Scott Baio, Michael Jackson, and Celebrity Real Estate, one of our favorite parts of Dean.
That's good.
So stand by for all of that. 8:20.
Got a good listing today. We'll be calling his name.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Moron Entertainment. Sponsored by a brand new Smile Dental Implant Center.
Tune him in because it's always changing colors.
East Coast to the West Coast. He is a critic I trust the most.
Oh, boy. Game of Thrones. Who's off the show?
The show...
Show's over?
They're wrapping it up. The final season won't be on until next year.
I like the part where they leave the castle and the last one to turn the lights off looks really sad.
This has been a Game of Thrones. Click. Several of the cast members have already finished shooting all their scenes, though. Among them, Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen.
Mm, sure.
Are you familiar with the
big fan of Daenerys Targaryen.
The mother of dragons, as you know. She says, I gave a little tease, saying she will be the last flavor in someone's mouth.
What in God's name does that mean?
Not 100% sure what that means, but...
She's the little blonde girl that was naked all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's naked pretty often.
That was a girl,
is
lady,
the hardest
blonde lady.
Core character on that show. Just saying.
In the midst of a bunch of softies?
But she's a dragon. She's a dragon.
Mother of dragons.
Yeah, those dragons don't mess around. Yeah.
What's it like if you're trying to set up your dragon child with a play date? Is that difficult? tell him Timmy can't play. I hate when he comes over and he breathes. He burns the furniture.
She posted a farewell Instagram in which she's lying in a field of flowers. Who hasn't seen Steve post pictures of
that was my
Instagram
promo shot
account over and over. But she wrote, it's been a trip at Game of Thrones. Thank you for the life I never dreamed I'd ever be able to live. And the family I'll never stop missing. Hashtag last season itis.
Okay. More on entertainment sponsored by Branding Smile Dental Implant Center. What's the Scott Baio story?
Scott Baio, if you remember, was accused by one of his former co-stars on Charles in Charge of sexual misconduct, of raping one of the young actresses, Nicole Eggert. She claims that he molested her when she was between 14 and 17 years of age. Yesterday, the L.A. District Attorney's Office said they will not be filing charges against Baio. Statute of limitations ran out long ago. Baio did admit to having sex with her one time, but he says it was after she turned 18 years of age.
Well. You know, speaking of the that type of story, I didn't even realize this. Chris Hardwick. You know Chris Hardwick?
Yeah.
Chris Hardwick, who's older than he looks. Chris Hardwick's like 46, 47 years old. He looks 15. He is married to Patty Hearst's daughter.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I never knew that.
Patty Hearst is his mother-in-law. Family outings like bank robberies and stuff, you know? But anyway, Chris Hardwick's girlfriend is accusing him of assault and viciousness.
Yeah, which he's denied, but the allegations are still there. And AMC, the channel for which he works, has taken him off the air until everything's resolved.
NBC said anything about doing the wall again, or are they holding back too?
I have not said anything about that. I've only heard that AMC has responded. I haven't heard any NBC responses to that. But this ties in with that story I told you yesterday about this Kevin Spacey movie that he shot 2 years ago that has been put on the shelf because Kevin Spacey has been basically gone into exile since all of the charges against him. The distributor of the film says they don't think it's fair to the other actors who also worked very hard on that, and they are going to put the movie out. So it's going to be interesting to see if people will go see a movie that Kevin Spacey's in.
Everybody is very cautious about doing business with people who have been accused, whether it's been proven or not, and that's not going to change anytime soon. What's the Michael Jackson story?
I was going to say, that being said, the Michael Jackson musical.
Hey, it's like a thriller. There's going to be a Michael Jackson musical on Broadway.
Why do I feel like there should have been one by now?
There should have been one by now. There have been a few shows that have come through. There's one that's been running for years in the West End in London, Thriller the Musical, which I've seen and honestly is not that good. It's just like a kind of a Michael Jackson review that you would, you know, see at in Branson, Missouri or something like that. But this time...
Oop, did we lose Dean?
Oh, still there?
That's very odd. You were shut off just randomly.
Am I back, though?
You are.
Oh, okay. Well, glad to be back. And again, it's changing color.
6-3-0 texter. Steve, you just said Chris Hardwick is married, and then you said his girlfriend is accusing him. Previous girlfriend, currently married.
From 2011, 2014.
Yeah, and he married Patty Hearst's daughter in 2015, I believe.
Let's get all of our affairs in order here, literally.
There's no affair.
The Michael Jackson estate, along with Columbia Live Stage, hired a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winner to write the show, the Michael Jackson show. And very esteemed Tony Award winner Christopher Wilden will direct it and choreograph it, and they say it's supposed to be out in 2020. So whether it's going to be like Mamma Mia or Jersey Boys or Beautiful or, you know, whatever, it's a catalog of Michael Jackson music that will have a storyline written through
it. For Chicagoans, Christopher Wilden did the Nutcracker at the Joffrey Ballet.
Yeah. Yeah, he reimagined.
When it's at the auditorium, that's fantastic.
Reimagined it last year, right? Exactly right.
Finally, Dean is about to. I don't think you know this, Justin Kaufman. Dean is about to don the blazer.
That sounds wrong.
He's going to don the blazer.
That doesn't sound right. But Justin doesn't know that in my spare time between TV and radio, I am also a certified real estate agent to the stars.
I did not know.
One honey of a deal after another.
Yep.
I love this.
And this is his first love. I mean, the entertainment stuff's fine, right. But this is what he loves
to
do.
Yeah, this is what I really love to do when some of the stars or their family members come to me and go, Dean, you're the only one that could possibly sell this property for us. And today, Steve, I've got the 81-acre estate of boxing heavyweight champ Muhammad Ali.
Oh, is this in Kentucky?
This is in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
It's actually not that far from here. It's just outside of Battle Creek, Michigan. And as I mentioned, 81 acres. I wish I could just show you some of these pictures that I took.
Are they spectacular?
They're charming.
Okay, well,
that's
we'll
a
take
word that I like
well.
To use a lot.
How many steps to the lake, Dean?
Now, interestingly, this is an 81-acre estate, but the property itself only has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths.
What?
So it's quaint. Quaint and charming.
Quaint.
It's got a carriage house. Okay. It's got a pool.
It's sunlit.
It's got a gym.
Good schools.
It's got a boxing ring right in the middle of the whole estate, a boxing ring.
Is each room like 3 acres big?
They gotta be, right? 3 bedrooms. Each bedroom is 3 acres.
Steam room, private baths. Laundry.
How about a trainer? Does it come with a trainer?
Not laundry.
How about a corner man? You got a corner man and a cut man that come with this?
Close to transportation.
Also a full sport basketball court.
Okay.
There's a statue of Howard Cosell when you drive into the property.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, when you rang the doorbell, it was Cosell? Who's calling? That'd be fantastic.
The champ is not here. Home.
That would be tremendous. All right, what are we listing at?
I can't even believe they're giving this away so inexpensively. $2.85 million.
That is pretty reasonable. What town is it in?
It is in
Battle Creek.
Berrien. It's outside of Battle Creek. Yeah.
Berrien Springs, yeah. You see it right there on 94 when you're driving through there.
Well, I'm not on 94 right now.
You got a perfect view. Perfect view of the highway. Who doesn't want that?
A 94. And you get all the Kellogg cereal you can eat.
Is that right? Yes. All right. So you said how much?
2.8.
I have $73 in cash this morning. John, what are you carrying?
$2.
That's 75, Dave.
20, 40, 50, 55, ooh, 75, 80. I got like $90.
Money back.
$90. That's $165, Justin.
I can Venmo you $15.
I hope that doesn't hurt. That gets us up to 211. Anybody else in? Vandeveld, Steve Grzanich, you want a piece of this?
I have zero dinero.
All right, that'll help.
I didn't know I could Venmo.
Yeah.
I could Venmo a lot more than $2.
$216. We're willing to make a cash offer of $216 right now.
The family may accept that offer.
Straight cash, homie.
They're trying to unload this property. So,
see if I could sublet the boxing ring just to make a little of my money back.
I'll see if I can get you maybe, if nothing else, maybe like 2-3 acres, which is, that's like, you know, 3 bedrooms right there.
That's exactly what it is.
As we know.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
See you.
That's Dean. We're back with the headlines next and 720 WGN.
But equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Texters keep texting in. The player who injured his back. What is the guy's name, Dave?
Brandon Morrow, right?
Brandon Morrow.
Brandon Morrow?
Yes.
Brandon Morrow hurt his back taking his pants off, and apparently we've struck a nerve, a sciatic nerve, with this audience.
Yes.
708, I tweaked my back getting off the toilet. I'm 31. That made me feel really old. 630, on vacation with friends at Disney. Our friend pulled out his back, putting in his contact lenses.
I'm telling you.
He stayed in the hotel room all day. We took his wife around Disney World.
He might have just wanted to get out of doing Disney.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, because it does sound like hard to believe that he...
We had to take his wife around for him, and he got to stay in the room.
847 pulled a muscle in my neck, putting on a turtleneck. 630 blew out my back, getting out of my car. 630, I feel like my back is gone out every morning when I get up. How bad a shape could I be in if I keep hurting myself sleeping? And we have an update on the bingo back, which is a medical condition, bingo back. The bingo back, the person who hurt their back playing bingo, said it was not jumping up and down yelling bingo, Mary. It was getting out of the chair.
Oh, yeah. That's always an issue, too. Got to go grab the walkers first.
So, well, I don't know if this individual has a walker.
Well,
getting up out of a chair.
Maybe they need some help.
All right, a couple of things. Andrea Darlis, we've had some texts about Andrea. We don't know where she is. No, of course we do. Andrea is now on every evening with Patty Vasquez. For a long time, Andrea expressed an interest saying, man, it'd be great if I had a show with my name on it. It'd be great. She and Patty are doing a show every night in the download time slot.
Yep, 7 to 11.
7 to 11.
Tonight's the first 7 to 11 because...
Oh, is it tonight?
Yeah, because the
Sox
White
have
Sox
an afternoon game.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, so in White Sox game nights around after the game, which usually is around 10:15-10:15-ish.
Like I said, depends how long Ed Farmer gets into his explanations of what's happening after the game.
So, as I said on various websites and stuff, people asked, and it's true, we all love Andrea. And we'll miss her on the show, but we're psyched to hear her and Patty together.
I can't wait for her and Patty to harass Roe during crosstalk.
It's a great point. He may melt down completely. So what does that mean? Well, that means in part, Dustin Kaufman has joined the show. And earlier this morning, we got a bunch of texts of people concerned I wanted to kill you. Now, let me just say this.
So early in the game, it's only big show three.
As the big brother on the show, this is a family.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I haven't wanted to kill you. You'll get there.
Yeah, I know.
But I haven't gotten there with you. I'm a fan of yours.
I'm a fan of yours, too.
And I'm glad you're here.
This is going to be fun. I mean, I think sometimes there's going to be some disagreement over political issues.
See, it was my understanding like that country. We are never to disagree with you.
That's in your new employee packet.
Right.
And since we're going forward, does this mean that when I say something wrong, I still have to punch myself in the face?
No, generally because I can't reach you.
Okay.
Yeah, that still seems to be a thing.
All right.
But also the bonus here is Pete Zimmerman has joined us.
Yeah.
So let's do a little background here. You worked with Pete on the Doll Show for how long?
About 10 years.
All right. So tell me about Pete.
So Pete Zimmerman is an excellent human being.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Excellent human being.
He did not talk to me for the first year that I worked there, even though I kept trying to talk to him. He would hide in the rack room, and I would have to go find him.
Well, that'll be one of my questions. Go ahead.
He's socially awkward.
That's not fair.
There was a.
These are my good points.
Yeah. There was a producer change that happened right before we were taking 300 listeners to Hawaii. And Steve Dahl sat us down and said, I think we can handle this. And we went over a bunch of things that we had to scramble together so that we could execute these 5 broadcasts.
I never asked you this. And this has nothing to do with Pete, but I'm sure you'd appreciate the break. was Steve a good guy to work for?
Yeah, I learned a lot from Steve. And I have.
That's really not an answer, is it?
Every career opportunity I've had since then is because I worked with Steve Dahl.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Steve Dahl fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've told Steve to his face, he's better on the radio than he is off.
I agree with that as well. So we had this meeting with Steve, and then we walked out of it. I followed Pete into his rack room because he was going to hide. And I said, do you think we can do this? Because I was a little intimidated. And he said, absolutely not. We're going to fail.
Yeah, that sounds like a Pete I know.
And then, other than that, before he met his wife, Molly, he used to only eat Lean Cuisines, cereal, and he likes coffee from a percolator.
Oh, an actual percolator, like the one of those deals. Yeah. That's my impression of a percolator, by the way.
And he doesn't like popular music. That's what I'll say about Pete.
All right. Now, Justin, you've known Pete for 3 years. Yeah. What do you say about him?
What do you really know about somebody who's worked for 3 years? Pete continues to hide. That's a thing. No.
Okay.
Pete's great. And he's co-host on The Download and producer and we had a great time doing that show, and what do you need to know about him? He's great.
Well, when we come back, we'll find out what we need to know about him. We're going to go around the room, and everybody, John DeCoste, you as well, of course, we'll all ask Pete questions. No limits on the questions. Could be about anything, including stuff that's deeply personal and none of our business.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back with those in just a second as Pete continues to have a trickle of sweat going in the middle of his back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 8:57. CLTV will join us in just a second. It's Get to Know Pete Zimmerman time. And let's just get some background here. Pete, when did you get into the business?
See, we're bumping up against the news, actually.
Oh, now you're concerned about the clock?
Always a producer.
I started working with Steve Dahl in 1997.
Okay. All right. And what were you doing then? Were you in school?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Apparently, he feels like he's a witness with a swinging light over his head.
I've got two things for you.
One, go ahead, Justin.
Pete's got an awesome laugh that is polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we would do the download, he would get great laughs, and the texters would text in saying, I love that laugh, or they'd be like, I hate that laugh.
Yeah.
It's like a 50-50. So you could do a poll on that.
It's funny you said that. I just got a text from somebody who said, Pete's got the greatest laugh ever.
See, there you go. He's got his fan club.
And what was the other thing?
And the other is he is a award-winning 16-inch, or champion, I should say, award-winning's wrong, 16-inch softball champion.
Oh, is that right? What position do you play?
I played first base.
Ooh. Now, I will say this, a very unorthodox first base.
In what way?
Pete was concerned that his leg would be trampled by an oncoming base runner,
mm-hmm.
so he would catch the ball and then step on the base.
Oh, yeah, that's not how it's normally done.
No,
you should get on YouTube and see how it's normally done.
The whole league was in awe of it. We're like, how is that possible? That should be a detriment, but he never made a mistake.
That's one fast leg is what that is.
It looked really annoying, I have to admit, because I catch the ball and then I kind of tap it, you know, tap the base.
Tap the base. Right. As a runner, you're like, this is amazing. He's going to make a mistake, but he never made a mistake.
But you have to have great hands to play first base.
That's probably the most.
And that's why you and Justin are so close.
How much did you hate when the new clincher came out of the box?
Oh. I did not like that at all.
Yeah.
What?
What does that mean?
The ball, the ball is really hard.
Comes at you.
Oh, the 16 inch?
Yeah.
It's
a clincher. Listen. Baby, Chicago clincher.
16 inch. I'm not a fan.
I know you're not.
Must have jabbed a lot of fingers.
Baseball, get a glove.
I'm all about, I'm purist.
All right, so here's the deal. We're going to go around the room here and hit you with some questions, Pete, because we want the audience to know you better. Well, there's a text here for Sandberg, 630. If you could work for Steve Dahl, working for anyone else must be heaven, even Cochran.
There's a lot of people that say that.
847, Pete, boxers or briefs, asking for a friend.
Boxers.
Our boxer briefs, you don't go with the new style, it's like a boxer briefs.
All right, Justin, you get the first question, something you don't know about Pete.
You grew up in Oak Lawn, right?
That's a statement, not a question.
Okay, well, I'm starting. That's how I do it.
Well, take your time. It's
actually
9 o'clock.
Actually, the mean streets of Hickory Hills.
There you go. There it is. That's what I'm...
Right.
Southwest side of the suburbs.
And he used to get guacamole from Chi-Chi's and just eat it with a spoon.
This is fake news. It was Pepe's.
Favorite restaurant.
He a T-shirt when he swam.
Flash bar in your area. Hickory Hills area.
The Roberts Roadhouse.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll defend you swimming with your shirt on so you don't get nipple chafing.
He burns easy. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Remember when I was a band called Nipple Chafing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You were so good.
Dave, question for Pete.
Pete, what's your favorite sport and who's your favorite sports broadcaster?
My favorite sport is probably baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Carey?
And probably Matt Vizgeri, a Vizgarian.
Oh, for the same reasons
Vizgarian.
I like him.
Who's second?
Dave Ennett.
Well, that's not bad, Dave.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, Doc Emmerich's listening now, and he just slammed the radio off. Super Joe, your question for Pete.
What's your favorite Italian dish?
That's Super Joe Romano, by the way.
The other day, we were in our offices, and Justin was talking about going to Vito and Nick's for some pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he mentioned to Joe that he was going for pizza, and Justin asked Joe for what his recommendation was, and Joe said, got to go sausage and pepperoni.
Now, pepperoni. With the mozzarella.
Yeah. So I'm going to go pizza, no meat.
Pizza.
Yeah.
What? He and his wife are vegetarians. That came from his wife.
Yeah. And dude, I also will add, you want something annoying about Pete? He's a competitive exerciser.
He's a competitive vegetarian, apparently.
No, he goes to the places where you have to beat people at exercise.
He does Orange Theory, you know, where they...
Are we really getting off the fact that he eats pizza without meat that quickly?
He doesn't eat meat.
What's wrong with that? That's okay.
No, it's really not.
Vegetarian pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Cheese pizza.
Welcome to America.
Kale pizza.
Eat the meat. Mary Vandeveld, question for Pete.
Okay, Pete, so what TV show do you watch that you're ashamed to tell us all that you watch?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good question.
The Bachelorette?
Yep.
Yes!
Golly. Dude.
Excellent.
I was really fond of you.
I hate this guy now.
Yeah, right? Steve Rosanich.
Pete, does it make you nervous that it's now 9:03?
Yeah. It's actually 9:02 and a half. Let's not exaggerate.
Yes, it does.
John DeCosta.
I just found out, here's how humble he is. His real last name is Bimmerman, but it came too early in the phone book. So he wanted to put it to the end. Favorite movie genre?
Romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd gone film noir because of the odd things that Sandberg said.
Like, I don't like superheroes. I'm not into superheroes and Star Wars and such. Mm-hmm. I just like movies that are people talking.
Well, he likes Lifetime movies. The Lifetime movie.
Oh, well, who doesn't like a good cry?
Oh, excuse me.
I was just saying, you and your wife had a podcast, Molly and Pete Save Christmas, where they broke down every Lifetime Christmas movie. You can get it at WGNradio.com.
Was it Lifetime or Hallmark?
Actually, I guess it was both.
Hallmark
has a ton of those. That's why
Christmas is his favorite holiday.
Well, then he's back in the game. And the question I have for you is, what can I do to make your stay here at the Steve Cochran Show more enjoyable?
Got to do something about the start time.
All right, we'll change the start time. Start time tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. You know what? I like the way you think, Zimmerman. Pete, this is the beginning of Get to Know Pete. We'll continue to have a Get to Know Pete segment. He thought he was off the hook. We'll bring this back with some regularity. We need a break. We're going straight to the news. Straight to the news. Hi to everybody on CLTV.
And now, back to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
I know you're going to dig this.
Brand new, with that new studio smell. Here in the Allstate Skyline Studios with views. Justin Coffin, where would you describe our views? We got the river?
Yeah, you got the river. You can go down the river towards the Wrigley Building. So we're looking as we go west, right down Wacker Drive. And also we're looking straight north.
The river north.
Sharon into the NBC Tower right down.
We're literally looking at river north.
Yeah, we are. We are looking north toward past the river.
Yeah, and the Sheraton is right there. And there's another studio that's being finished in the next few days. About 100 yards down the hall, where we'll do this show mostly, which has Lake Michigan behind us, with the sun rising every morning behind us, because they've done that for a while now. The sun's come up over the lake.
It is funny. I've been doing the Download podcast, and I'll have people come in, and I'll show them the unbelievable views of that studio that's not done yet, right? But then I have to go, and then, okay, we're going to do the recording in this closet.
Right.
That's the only operating studio. They're like, this is where we'll do radio, right here.
What?
There's no windows. That is a beautiful view that we'll come back to later.
224 should call it the nosebleed section studio. Is that a compliment?
This is, I've been in the nosebleeds in many different places. This, to me, is much different. It's
breathtaking. This is the nicest facility I've ever worked in.
It is inspiring. You watch the city wake up.
Yeah, it's
literally
pretty cool.
In some cases.
Yeah, with our residents next door in the apartment building who don't pull their shades.
But you can see the traffic patterns build. You can see so much that's happening here in the city from high atop. And we have to come up with a high atop the 303. You
know, high atop the 17th floor?
Yeah, high atop the 17th floor.
Yeah, we're on 18.
Right.
You had some problem with the park district. I got to hear this story because apparently
it's not a problem.
Well, it sounds like a problem. So we'll get to that coming up. But another one of my favorite groups here in studio, if you don't know Chicago's Lighthouse, you're missing out. And you've probably already contributed in ways you don't know. And they've got an event coming up, which is important for us to get to. But the board chair, Gary Rich, is here first. Gary, nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And to explain what Lighthouse is.
The Chicago Lighthouse is a social organization that supports people who have low vision, have multiple disabilities, and veterans.
And the products you make, the amazing thing, Justin, I don't know if you've talked to these guys before, but you think of visually impaired folks. Of course you think. They make most of the clocks in America. These clocks, was that a founding product that you guys started?
That is the
first, what you built it on?
That's what it was built on. We still have the clocks, and we've modernized it. We're now online with companies like Target. We do special face clocks, if that's what people are interested in. And we are part of the federal government program where literally, if you're a federal agency, you have to purchase clocks from us, which is terrific. It employs people who need jobs.
And you can buy them at retail now?
You can. They're at Target stores. They're at Overstock.com, Amazon.com, and Target.com.
There's an event called Lighthouse on the Magnificent Mile. At or on?
On.
And it's an art exhibit that goes up and down Michigan Avenue. What type of art are we talking about?
We are talking about 6 foot tall, unbelievably beautiful lighthouses decorated there's 103 artists, and over 50% of them are disabled. Low vision, cognitive, emotional, physical disabilities, and they are spectacular.
And the way you take part in this is how? How do we help where it benefits you guys other than exposing these artists, which is nice?
Well, there's a couple of ways. First, the sponsorships. We have people like David Huber, who's
You're going to meet in just a second. Exactly. Dave and I go back about 30 years, probably about now.
And they look very young in spite of that. But the lighthouses have sponsors that paid money to support the artists that did it. And when the art exhibit, the public art exhibit, is finished on August 11th, they'll be auctioned off to the highest bidder.
Really cool. And I don't know if you noticed, Justin, right in front of the Blackhawk store at 300 North Michigan is a Blackhawks lighthouse.
There's such a great tradition here in Chicago of public art on Michigan Avenue in the downtown area. You go back to the cows, and the dogs are still in difference to couches. There's been so many different projects. So it has to mean something to you being a Chicagoan to think about being a part of that long storied tradition.
We like to believe not only are we extending it, but we're improving it, quite honestly. I mean, you've got to see the lighthouses to appreciate them. They are unbelievable.
There's a Beauty and the Beast in front of the Disney store, which features Sandberg's stepdaughter, Catherine. Beautiful girl.
Right.
And the Beast is a good-looking dude himself.
That actual lighthouse, we have a board member named Larry Broutman, and he's published several books in Chicago. His next upcoming book will be about fairy tales, and he actually took children from our preschool program, many of whom have disabilities, and he's incorporated them with an illustrator into a book of nursery rhymes. And in fact, that same illustrator is the one who did that lighthouse, and it's amazing that it's outside the Disney store.
Nicely timed. Dave Huber is here. Dave is one of the best financial brains in America. And has always been a very generous guy and an old golf buddy of mine. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I haven't seen you in a while. You look great. That's annoying to me.
You do, too. Thank you.
No, you really do look fantastic. And we were catching up on family stuff and the golf game and things. But what drew you to Lighthouse?
Well, I, back in 1995, had a detached retina, which led to total vision loss in my right eye.
Right.
And
I remember it well.
Yeah, so it affected my golf game and a lot of other things, but never really deterred me from doing whatever I wanted. But it made me aware of the issues of limited vision and problems with disabilities. About 10 years ago, a client of mine introduced me to the Chicago Lighthouse, and I had known about the lighthouse, but had never been really involved. And decided it was asked to become part of the board, and that was the beginning of it. And so I'm in my 10th year on the board.
Right.
Served as the treasurer for 3 years and headed up the finance committee. And when this opportunity came about for my firm to become really involved,
presenting sponsor. Right.
It was just a great opportunity, and I saw the potential for all these are unbelievable artists with amazing talent that really a lot of times get lost in the shuffle. They're just not out there. And
well, as Justin said, it goes with a tradition of great street art on Michigan Avenue, but we've not seen anything like this.
And I have to ask. It's surprising to me to read the facts that, of course, this Lighthouse Project is to raise awareness for employment opportunities for disabled Americans. And to see a stat, and I read the stat, that 70% of Americans with disabilities are unemployed. That's a stat I don't think a lot of Americans understand.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the majority of those would like to be employed. They're very talented, and they're very, very hard workers and will give you 150% effort in anything they do. They just need a chance. And so this is really to create awareness and to, you know, give visibility to the issues that are out there. And there's no better way to do it. I mean, they're on the, you know, their artwork is on the Mag Mile until I think it's August 11th. So it's great exposure.
That's a great way to raise awareness. Yeah.
So for either one of you, if we decide we want to bid or buy these once the exhibit's done, how do you go about that?
Good question. Do you know David?
No, they are definitely going to be. There's going to be an auction for the lighthouses, and the one that
details on the way.
Details on the way. The one we're directly sponsoring, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Hansen, 25-year-old artist, actually owned two of his pieces already. Jeff, at age 25, has raised $3.4 million for charities through his art, and is an amazing talent. So hopefully I can buy his, which we're the sponsor of.
I like your chances. Is there another one, Gary, that you'd recommend people make sure they see?
Yes, there's one I sponsored with my wife. I highly recommend it. It's very different. It's very unusual. It's about seeing and being felt. And it actually has hands and eyes embedded coming out of the lighthouse. It's really quite unique.
Where's it going to be?
That one's right next to the Wrigley building, that little alleyway there. Yeah. There's four of them.
Love them. Yeah, perfect.
So Huber Financial, there's another piece of this, which I assume you've been asked to do, or maybe I'm off base on this, but I would think these folks could use some financial advice too, right? People are dealing with vision impairment.
Well, absolutely, and for people with visual disabilities, you know, more than happy to give pro bono advice and you know, anything we can do to help the cause and to push along the mission of the lighthouse.
What's the name of the company? Still Huber Financial?
Huber Financial Advisors.
Yeah. I always thought you'd just call it Dave Huber Global Enterprises.
Well, when you and I met, Steve, I think it was myself and maybe one assistant, and now we've got 26 employees.
Yeah, so. Nice growth. So, good for you. And thanks for what you're doing for Chicago Lighthouse. Gary, you know what a big fan I am, and I think this is a really cool thing. So if you're coming to Chicago every day or just visiting this summer, you will see these lighthouses up and down Michigan Avenue. Enjoy them. Make a note of the ones you like best. And we'll get you guys back on to talk about what the details are when people can start bidding in August.
Thank you.
Nice to see you both. Website? What's the website for you guys? ChicagoLighthouse.org?
Yes.
Yeah. Not my first day, Dave. And, genius like that.
And there's also, Gary, what is the website for the lighthouses? It's We should know this.
No, I've got it right here.
Lighthouses on magmile.com. Yeah. You can actually see all the different artists and their lighthouses on there. And in each of the hotels in town, there's a piece with a map of the locations and the description and everything else. So
very cool.
Really good stuff.
Important, autocast.com. If you download that, you'll hear the actual artist of each of the lighthouses describing their inspiration and what their thought process was in developing the artwork.
That's tremendous. For a couple of guys who didn't have a clue how to do the auction, you certainly know the rest of this well. again, thank you for that. And lighthouses on magmile.com. Check it out and see them live this summer. Talk to you soon, fellas.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks so much.
9:26. Why does Justin hate the Park District? Next on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran.
Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio
on 720 WGN. WGN.
9:29. All right, so Justin hates the Park District. What did they do to you?
No, I do not.
What did they do to you?
It has nothing to do with it. They're great. I love the Park District. Well, no problem.
I got a note that said Justin wants to bash the Park District. That's what happened?
That note was fake news. No way. It's on me. I had a scheduling conflict. I have my son, he goes into the Park District summer camps. And when we signed up for it back in March or April or whatever, I was working at night. And so the issue was I could drop him off at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock when it starts. You don't need the early pickup, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So then when this happened, a great opportunity to work with the legend Steve Cochran and the...
Oh, my God.
Or whoever ends up working here.
Yeah. What a suck up.
I need now, because my wife works, it's like, well, you know, we got to make sure that how do we get him to early drop off, you know, so it could happen. And that is filled up. And so now, and they're like, there's a waiting list. Sorry, dude. And so now,
did they literally say sorry, dude?
No, pretty much. I mean, I tried my best to drop your name like 5-10 times.
Right. They said that's not helping.
Like, yeah. So anyway, I have to figure it out. So it might be that Miles comes here and then hangs out in the morning, and then I got to leave right away, go drop him off at camp, come back to. It's going to be a disaster.
Where is summer. Camp?
It's over on the west, in the west side.
Miles seems like, how old is he? 10?
10, yeah.
Seems like a very advanced young man. He's, first off, he's very bright.
Yeah.
He's charming. He's very funny. I say Uber. Uber! He's 10! Come on!
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No, I'm kidding, dude. Don't put him in an Uber.
CTA?
It's a terrible idea. What are you talking about? No, don't.
I'm listening to Uncle Steve. I'm like, yeah, Steve's right. Maybe I need to suck it up and put my son in an Uber.
No, he's 10.
Yeah, whatever Steve says.
Yeah, I like the gangster voice.
Yeah, I don't know. I unfortunately have to figure this out in the next week because camp starts next week.
Doesn't open house tomorrow. In camp or something?
Yeah,
well, carpool.
That's what we're going to try to figure out because some neighbors. The camp. The ironic thing is the camp is like right across the street from where we live. So the issue is we'd have to go all the way down here and then all the way back home and then all the way back to work, which is kind of a bummer.
So here's my question.
So I need the park district. If
can't we get a celebrity pass here? Can't we get a...
Yeah, and I'll pay for it. I mean, I'm just looking to drop him off an hour earlier. That's all.
Right.
So I'm not bashing on it. It's my schedule changed.
I think that he should be a contributing producer on the show.
Yeah.
You talking about Miles?
Yeah, that would be his sort of camp this summer.
Yeah, forget camp, forget going out and playing tag.
He could write the top six. Well, I mean, we're done at 10. He could go play later.
He can go play later.
You know, let's put him to work.
Let's get an early drop off. Somebody's got to be listening from the park district.
So wait, the camp's
across the
street.
Let's get a special dispensation.
The camp is across the street.
So he can't, well, I guess he's too young.
He's just a bit too young.
I don't
see, this is where we get to
the debate. My stepson's 11. He's going to be 11 July, whatever, he told us on the air. We have this debate all the time because we have the same age child. I leave him and I go to the gym. I leave him to go to the grocery store.
Here's the difference, because I've done that, and neighbors have talked about it as well. It's the difference
when they call DCFS?
No, it's the difference of him having to be responsible to leave the house. Yeah. It's different to be in the house when the doors are locked and you'll be back in 20 minutes because you're going somewhere. But the responsibility of locking the door and walking, you know, and leaving the house, that might be too much for a 10-year-old.
And you were talking about neighbors, no neighbors? Or
there might be. We're working neighbors. We're working neighbors.
Do you need me to go down there? And
I still like the
Uncle
idea.
John's going to drop
Uncle
off.
Uncle John will do it.
Yeah. I still like an idea of a celebrity dispensation, you know, which is a formal term for throw Justin a bone.
Steve, I like you taking the White Lightning and picking up kids for the camp and dropping them
off. There you go.
I'm great with
we
kids.
Can show up.
Kids love
There's
me.
A lot of seats in that car.
Yeah, kids love me.
So we'll see. Tomorrow's the open house, or I think it's Thursday, and so I'll do the same thing again where I'll drop your name 10 times.
Is this an elaborate excuse to get out of the post-show meeting?
It's elaborate. Just for that 145 minutes, I'm going to go get him and come back and be like, sorry, I can't make the meeting.
Because you know every day at 10:45, I'm going, woo, I'm spent.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, we love Miles. He's welcome here anytime. Yeah. So, I mean, you're on the fence, but we love Miles.
Yeah. If he could do jumping jacks here, that would be great.
Helpful listener, 630, does the camp have rooms to rent?
You're ready to stay over.
You know, the average 10-year-old, why not? He's ready. Back with your headlines in just a moment. You know who's coming on the show? Your old boyfriend, Rokan. Rokan will be on the show in just a second.
Great boyfriend.
And we got to do match game one more time before we're done because I didn't like the way the first one ended.
Okay. We're
in
all
a
set.
0-0 tie. More of celebrity match game coming up. Get ready to call in and play. Stand by for that. Another helpful texter, 630. I'm 59. They still don't trust me home alone.
Exactly.
Back in a second on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Woo-hoo!
That's Justin Kaufman, and that's Dave Emmett. No woohoo out of you. Woo-hoo. Let's go ahead and turn your microphone on. How about one with your microphone on?
How about
microphone on?
Woohoo!
There you go.
That was good. That was good.
John got a woohoo.
Woohoo!
There you go. Just ahead of Rokan. That's the music, of course. Here are the Republicans who want to stop Trump from continuing to separate parents from their children. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, Susan Collins from Maine, Marco Rubio from Florida, Roy Blunt from Missouri, John Cornyn from Texas, John McCain, Ben Sass from Nebraska, Rob Portman from Ohio, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, Orrin Hatch from Utah, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Rand Paul from Kentucky, Corey Gardner from Colorado, Bob Corker from Tennessee, James Langford from Oklahoma, and Kevin Yoder from Kansas. Also, Mike Kaufman from Colorado, and Steve Stivers from Ohio, Will Hurd from Texas, Fred Upton from Michigan.
All those guys, all that was the entire list of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
Yeah, all those people? Yeah, exactly. Oh, and Mario Diaz-Balart from Florida. Point
I'm
being...
I'm going to say something. Loser, 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 loser.
Right, and the
loser.
Point... clearly, the point being that Donald Trump is now at the point of holding his breath till he turns blue.
That's
He's not going to change this because he doesn't want to change this.
Well, okay, so here's the issue that stands in front of them right now, which is they probably will get this passed through the House tomorrow. I cannot imagine that they won't. The Senate may not take it up. It cannot. It does not appear that they're going to be able to do that. Right. I mean, there's a procedural issue. There may be a votes issue.
Fear of embarrassment, yeah.
I mean, this becomes a you know it gets ground up in the political machine up on Capitol Hill, and the thing is that I understand. I mean, I'm trying to kind of dig into the mind here and understand, you know, where what the president's really trying to do or say here. He's obviously, you know, obviously his base comes first, and he's saying to his base, listen, you cannot, this is an illegal act, and we have to get this to stop. There are people making the argument, like Kristen Nielsen, that this is a humanitarian crisis. You know, regardless of what the United States does, and actually the United States is helping the crisis by having tender age centers for babies.
Tender
and all
age,
that
by the way, the official federal government name for children under two.
Yes. So they're making the argument that this is that they're trying to do something right here. It's very hard to. And there are real crises here. I get this. I see where the problem is. The biggest problem, however, and the easiest problem to solve, now that you have our attention, we see what the issue is not to separate these children from their parents.
It's a phone call. It could be ended with a phone call, and it could be ended in the next 5 minutes. Now, keep in mind that Trump has surrounded himself from characters from the Star Wars bar in the original Star Wars movie, including Stephen Miller and Corey Lewandowski. Hey, Super Joe, give me cut. Super Joe, give me cut 9. Tell me when you're ready for cut 9. Corey Lewandowski was appearing.
I know what you're going to play here. You're going to make me mad. You're just going to make, why do you do this? You know what? I'm just trying to get up and have a good morning.
That's not my job. My job is not to make your morning.
Okay. All right, fine.
Corey Lewandowski on, I believe, CNN last night, the discussion over a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome separated from her,
Fox, I believe,
her family. Was it Fox? Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Wah,
I
wah.
Read a...
Wah, wah. Mm. Wah, wah. That's right. Corey Lewandowski... Wah, wah. Well, it's just a 10-year-old Hispanic kid with Down syndrome. They don't count like a full kid, right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with.
Well, you're dealing. He's reflecting that notion that, you know, I'm sick and tired of listening to, you know, you did to everybody complaining about the inhumanity of Donald Trump, and look at what the rest of them are doing. You know, I got to tell you this. It's a really, imagine the desperate nature of the majority of people who are doing this, who are coming across. And by the way, I would like to just point out, and I know that there are going to be people who are like, hey, listen, this is a crisis, and if we just let them in, they're going to, you know, they all disappear. The president yesterday said 3% of people show up for their court cases. The actual number in 2016, the last year that they had numbers available, was 75% of people show up for their court cases.
What, 375?
You know, I mean, they're close.
That is not, I don't know, I mean, 2018, maybe he's seeing numbers that we're not seeing, but as of 2016, the last full year.
No, look, he's not. He's lying. He's lying, okay. And he's right. Making stuff up.
I'm just, but here, let me
listen, before we run out of time, because you get these same texts, 773. If the parents already know they shouldn't bring their kids to the border, then why are they? It's their fault. The parents don't know. The parents are not on the internet Googling to try to find out what the two ports of entry are.
And they're not not familiar with the new doctrine from the Department of Justice about what is legal and what is illegal when it comes to asylum.
They're being ferried across Mexico by named coyotes who take all the money they do have to do this. Like, it's what you said, Ro. This problem is huge. Donald Trump's not wrong to try to fix it. Barack Obama didn't get it right. George Bush didn't get it right. And when he was about to pass a bill, 9/11 happened. So we're at this place because a lot of people have failed in getting it done, namely Congress, Justin, as you mentioned earlier. They're a massive failure. Having said that, there are things in life that are black and white. Here's one of them. In the United States of America, you don't tear children away from their parents
for
political reasons and blackmail. That's it. People all morning, Ro, and I'm sure you've seen these as well, have been texting, okay, what's your idea? Here's my idea. You don't tear children away from their parents. There has to be a way to make that part of this story palatable while you try to fix the rest, including
there is an answer,
putting
obviously.
Them in custody together.
Right. Paul Ryan, is offering a solution today. There are solutions.
It's nice to see Paul got his voice back.
Right. Well, I mean, but the point is that there are solutions. And now the question is, or at least there are short-term solutions, because the long-term solution is a bigger one. And let's be honest here, too. The reality of this is that there are deplorable conditions throughout Central America that people are running away from. There's also gang members trying to get in. There's no question about that. But there is a difference between the people who are running up out of here, as you point out, being taken by the coyotes with their little babies to try to get away from Honduras because they're going to get murdered by the people that we're afraid of up here. I mean, they're trying to do something. They look at this as a sanctuary. And Donald Trump is trying to send a message. America's no longer open for the sanctuary business. That's what he's trying to say. Right. And we have to decide as Americans, do we agree with him?
Yeah, and you know what? You can have the sanctuary argument too when you stop tearing away children from their parents who don't deserve it. All right, Ro will fix this between 3 and 7 this afternoon.
I got it all worked out. Thank you.
Or actually after the White Sox game.
Well, around 3 o'clock this almost.
Sorry, right, around 3 o'clock this afternoon. All right.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Let's Ro come.
See you, Ro.
We were going to play match game, and we may have time for one caller, 312-981-7200, to see if we can get any celebrity matches before Bill and Wendy join us next. All right, we got to do a quick round here of match game. It went so poorly earlier. We have a lot of celebrities here for John to be able to ask the question and see if we can get a match before we go. Kate's on the south side. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
All right, get ready, Kate.
Good morning, Kate.
Don't blurt out your answer until all the celebrities are locked in.
Yeah, I'll ask you for your answer. Here we go. The new owners of the Tribune Tower are charging ridiculous fees to live in the building. Now even the blanks have to pay rent.
Even the blanks have to pay rent. I think we know where the blanks are. Nothing but trouble. All right, lock in your answer. I have mine.
The new owners of the Tribune Tower are charging ridiculous fees to live in the building. Now even the blanks have to pay rent. Everybody
even
have their
the blanks.
Answers?
Got your
Got
answer?
It.
Got it. Answer,
yep.
answer?
Yep.
Got your answers?
Yep. We got it. Kate, what is your answer?
The rats.
The rats.
Mm. Perfect.
My answer? Rats.
Rats.
There's one. Get Bill.
I said rats.
Rats, too.
I went from rats to cockroaches to final answer mice.
Ooh, oh, so
sorry.
Close. So close.
Well, I said bugs, but I'm going to say vermin instead because that covers them all.
Yeah. So close, so close.
I did go cockroach.
Rats.
Well, there's two so far.
Yeah.
John, what was your answer? Oh, that's right. You can't play.
Don't have one.
Two is two more than we had for the last
time. There you go. That's how you play.
My only question is, do the rats have to pay a security deposit as well?
Yes.
All right.
Association fee.
We're back tomorrow with General John Borling. War hero General John Borling in studio tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. Amazing guy. Bill and Wendy, what are you doing today?
We have Jay Moore on Friday.
Comedy hero, Jay Moore.
Friday.
That's cool.
What about tomorrow?
Some things.
Just get ready for Jay Moore's visit on Friday.
Hold on a second. Are you doing this and that today?
No, we did this and that yesterday. But Friday we have comedian Jay Moore.
So today's stuff.
Yeah, today will be, yeah, I think that's fair, yeah.
All right, stand by for stuff. Yeah. Stand by for stuff.
Not a lot of stuff. Some stuff.
Some stuff.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff. Come on.
There's a lot of stuff coming. Okay. Jay Moore Friday.
Kate, you're a big winner. Thanks.
It's all just all about Jay Moore
Friday.